Hey, everybody, it's Connor. Thank you so much for joining us for another incredible episode of our podcast drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Every single Wednesday, we bring you a new episode. It's either an interview with an artist who makes the theater and art that we love around the world, or it's a chit chat between me and my co-host, Dylan. We're also brothers. We talk about theater, pop culture, love, and life. It's honestly, such a fun gag every single week. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. Make sure you give us a great review. And if you're really loving us, go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you become a member of Drama Plus, which is our bonus content platform where we bring you even more episodes. You get added to our Instagram close friends, and it goes a long way because it really supports the pod and lets us keep it going every single week and helps us make a little money, honey. Okay. So you're going to love this episode with Sophie Carmen Jones. You're going to follow us. You're going to share it. You're going to send it to all your friends. You're going to make us the happiest twins in the whole wide world. And oh my God, I don't have anything else to say because it's all set on the pod. All right. See you in a second. Time for the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, something major is going on right now in the world. And I know that we don't talk about politics too much on drama. However, we can't not talk about, because, you know, politics are drama.
Oh, yeah. Is it going to be that Jack Schlossberg finished his first week as Vogue's political correspondent?
You know, in a normal Newsweek, maybe that would have been the case. But no.
Oh, okay.
It is that Joe Biden, our sitting president, has decided not to seek re-election after campaigning up until this point. And endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris, who I am gagged about.
I'm gagged. Dylan, you've been K-Hive for years, and I'm so excited about this. She has memed her way into the presidency, y'all. I'm
yes.
so excited. I've fallen in love.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that she's charismatic. She's strong. She's so brilliant. And I recommend anyone who wants to know more about her to read her book. It's called For the People. I got it in 2020 Biden selected her as the vice president. And it's honestly a great read. It just shows the human side to a politician, I think, which is, you know, people say, oh, can the politicians even human? But I really, really think she's amazing. And I'm excited about this moment that's going on.
Me too. I feel like excitement. I feel like people are actually like
yes.
ready to fight with her, for her. It's not just like, well, she's not Trump. It's like, no, let's fucking get her into office.
Yes.
Man. Like, she's amazing.
Yes.
I'm and so excited.
I'm very excited too. And anyone who's listening who isn't on board, I just want to ask, why are you listening to this podcast? Because you'd be voting against the interests of the hosts and most of the guests. Anyways, there's something else exciting going on right now in the world of theater specifically. One of our favorite shows is celebrating 5 years on Broadway.
Dylan, do you remember seeing it on Broadway for the first time?
I do. And I think we were there at its final preview.
Ooh.
Like July 30th or what? I don't know the exact anniversary of the opening, but
we also went to Boston to see it.
It was very exciting. There's a lot of fun things going on with Moulin Rouge right now. I can't wait to talk about it with our guest who she's done it on the West End. She's doing it on Broadway right now.
Oh, we're obsessed, obviously. Wait, it's in the West End, right? Not on. In the West End.
In the West End on Broadway.
On
did
Broadway.
I say it wrong?
You did, but I had to question it too because I always get confused. I'm so excited. Can
I
we
know.
Just get into
Let's
it?
Let's jump into it. Our guest today is a triple threat star of both Broadway and the West End. We love the Brits here on Drama, and this week's guest has crossed the pond to make her Broadway debut as Nini in Moulin Rouge. She created the role at the Piccadilly Theatre in London, where she also strutted her stuff on the West End in Jersey Boys as Francine, Viva Forever, Wicked, We Will Rock You, and in the international tour of Chicago as Velma Kelly. On screen, you may recognize her from her feature film roles in Disney's The Little Mermaid, Death on the Nile, Rocket Man, Cats, Cinderella, Aladdin, and Beauty and the Beast, among others. She's a Disney gal. Some of her recent television credits include One Day on Netflix, Dark Money and White Gold on the BBC, and Cleaning Up and Unforgotten on ITV. She's an absolute powerhouse performer, and we're so happy to have her on the podcast this week. Please welcome to drama, Sophie Carmen-Jones.
Hi, what an introduction. Thank you.
Sophie, we're so thrilled to have you on here today. You look absolutely stunning, and your curly hair is inspiring me because I'm also on a curly hair journey.
We love the curls.
We love.
Do you use a diffuser?
I need to get one.
Yes, a diffuser changed my life. You have to get on board.
Oh my God. I need to. Mm-hmm. Okay, as Dylan was reading your resume here, I've seen every single movie you've been in, I think. And you've been in so many. So I guess I'm a super fan.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, the Disney films, we do love them. I mean, it's like a blink and you'll miss me. But yeah, they've all been fab. So cool.
We'll get into all of it.
And I was about to ask a question. I was like, wait, no. We'll dive in a second. But Sophie, I'm wondering, mm-hmm. we find you at this exciting time in Moulin Rouge. We find you on your day off. But are you well?
I'm really, really good. Thank you. Yes. I do have moments in life at the moment. I'm just like, wow. The gratitude I have for exactly where I am right now. And because, you know, life is peaks and troughs, right? Ups and downs, hills and valleys, as we say in Wales, which is where I'm from originally. But right now, I'm on top of a hill. I'm at a peak. And so I'm just embracing it and very, very grateful for where I am.
Aww. Oh, I love to hear that. So when did you come over to the US to do Moulin Rouge?
It was over a year ago now. So yeah, the beginning of 2023, April is when I had my debut. Yeah.
Ooh. How did that all come about?
Literally a message out of the blue. I got a call from my agent and a message from the director. I left the show in London. In London, the contracts work quite different. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but in the West End, you tend to do year contracts, and that's everyone, principals, ensemble, and then you either renew your contract or you don't, or you know, they choose to renew your contract or they might not. It's sort of everyone does a year and then it's like you start again sort of thing. Whereas on Broadway, it's all very different. Principal contracts never tend to be that long. And then ensemble contracts are pretty much rolling, it seems like anyway. Yeah. So yeah, after a year, I left the show. As much as I was having the best time, I just thought I had to sign on for another year. I wasn't quite ready to commit to another year. And then a couple of months later, they called me and said, what about doing Broadway? Would you do that? And I was like, let me think about it. Yes. And that's how it came about.
Oh my God.
That's so fun. So you were with JoJo last time she was in it. And then you're about to be with her again. Okay.
Yes. Me and JoJo made our Broadway debuts together.
No one else can say that. That's like a legendary, like fun fact for the rest of your life.
I know. I mean, it's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Yeah.
Me and the iconic JoJo made our Broadway debut together. Sure.
Oh, so good. Mad. I know. I missed her last year. And you, I need to come see it. Well, because our boy.
Yes, you do.
Aaron Tveit's going to be on. And he, you know, he's the OG. He's the one. Love him so much. He actually did our show.
You see, there's a poster of him behind me. You can see over here. Stop. He's in the background. From when he did Company.
Oh,
and
gorgeous.
I will tell you this. I've never said this on the podcast. He did do our show in like 2022 or 2023. And I did take the poster down for the chat with him.
No,
I could not let him see
it.
You know what's funny, though? He did sign this poster. When I worked at 54 Below, he performed on New Year's Eve. One year is like a big concert. And my coworkers know that he is my number one. Like, I've loved him forever. Hope he's not listening. And I mean, he could probably tell. He could probably tell when we chatted with him. And they, as like a gift for me, they took the poster because it was above my desk and they had him like address it to me and everything. And so I got back for work from the holidays and I had the shock of my life and never could have imagined that years later he'd come on my podcast and things like that. But love him so much.
Awesome. I love that. And he is just a lovely person. So you've picked a good one to love, you know?
I know. Sometimes they say don't meet your heroes because they might disappoint you. But in this case, absolutely above and beyond.
Right.
And he's been lovely since we've connected in the years that have come. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. Well, you had quite a big cast changeover. I saw yesterday a very emotional TikTok of Derek and Courtney.
Bobby Day and...
Was it Clay Thompson?
Clay, oh my God, Clay. And Brie as well. Yeah, it was a tough one yesterday. You know, they all bring a lot to the Rouge. And yeah, it's sad. It's always sad when people leave. It's hard. And that's another big difference between the West End and here is that on Broadway, it happens a lot because of the shorter contracts and the get outs and everything. So it's emotional. But then it's also exciting because fresh energy comes in then on Tuesday night. You know, it's going to be electric with all the new cast members. Well, most people are old ones coming back.
Yeah,
but yeah, true. It does bring like another burst of energy. So it's sad, but also exciting.
Sure. Now, when you came over the first time, how long was that contract supposed to be?
5 months.
That's it?
Yes. 5 months very quickly turned into, it'll be almost 2 years by the end of my next contract. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
So you've extended.
I have extended, yes.
Yay. Well, I heard you're absolutely unreal. You know, Connor and I do like a ton of research into our guests, and I like will search your name on Twitter or Instagram, TikTok. People are obsessed
literally
with you, Sophie.
Oh, no way. I'm actually not on TikTok, so I don't see a lot of that stuff. Oh, that's lovely to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, they'll sneak little video of like the curtain call and things like
that. Oh, yeah.
Talk about how your dancing is something that everyone remarks upon.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. Thank you.
Is David Harris, isn't he David Harris? Is he still in the show?
Yes. He sure is. He's our Duke.
He's so sexy. When I went back to see the show like a year...
I'm going to tell him he's going to love that.
Tell him he has a potential suitor living in Hell's Kitchen. But okay. I don't know if he's married or whatever, but was obsessed with him so much that I was kind of like, wait, am I on the Duke's side during this viewing of...
Oh my God. Listen, you should read some of the letters he gets. It's wild. There are a lot of people that are like, is Satine crazy? I would go with the Duke in a heartbeat. He is a gorgeous man. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
You're in good company for sure.
And wait, a Nini question.
Ooh, shoot.
Your wig is blonde on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Were you brunette in the West End?
God, you really do the research. Yes.
I was a little gag because you look amazing as a blonde. You know, they do have more fun, allegedly. But
allegedly.
Was brunette Nini having as much fun as blonde Nini?
Ooh, that is a tricky question. Oh, both. I had fun in both in very, very different ways. But I'm not going to lie. I think blonde Nini is probably really living her best life. I thought I was living my best life as a brunette, but I think I'm really, really living my best life now as a blonde.
I love it.
So as you created the role in the West End, was that a conversation with the wig?
Yes, it was actually. It was basically a blonde wig that they first put on me was like basically the same shape as what Robin Herder, who obviously originated the role, had. And it just didn't suit me at all. To be honest, I looked like, it made me look really young, like that blunt, straight fringe made me look really young, but also really didn't flatter my face shape. The type of blonde that it was didn't look good with my thick black eyebrows. So it was a conversation of if we do a darker route and make it look more of like a fake blonde, it could work. But because they'd already ordered, it was like a real hair wig. They didn't want to mess around with the color too much. So they just decided to make it brunette, and then we added a bit of texture to it, which was my request, to add a bit of texture to the way to sort of emulate my own hair. But David Brian Brown, who's a wig designer, is so on board with discussing with actors what works for them, and also he's just great at seeing what suits people, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they both look fabulous.
And JoJo does the red, right? She's the red. Yeah.
Oh, how stunning.
Love.
Because that's how Satine is in the movie, right? Isn't Nicole Kidman red?
Yes. It's like, what's that character? Is it Jessica Rabbit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That vibe, isn't it? Yeah. Sexy Jessica Rabbit.
Totally. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I was thinking about it because you've done the show for hundreds of performances, probably even more at this point. I mean, I don't know if you're here in the thousands yet?
No, I need to count actually, but I kind of don't know if I want to.
I know, it's
like,
scary.
Oh God, how many times have I done a split drag across the stage? When will I need a hip replacement?
How do you even keep it fresh at that point?
Gosh, do you know what? It's actually, I don't actually have to think about it. I love it still. I have so much fun every night. Even if, you know, I'm human. Sometimes before I'm like, I'm tired today, or, you know, you're in a bit of a mood or whatever. Yeah, on a matinee. And then, I don't know, that music starts playing and you sort of rally up with everyone, and someone's mood is like super high that sort of lifts everyone else up, or the audience goes wild. Like, we'd love it when the audience is loud. I'm like, yes, give it to us. So that really helps. I'm not bored yet. I'm really not. I'm loving it still.
I mean, how could you? I mean, it's such a great show, and I'm sure that if you can constantly have a different favorite part to look forward to.
Yes.
Each, you know, the different periods.
Totally. Exactly that. And with the cast members changing all the time, that always brings a fresh energy as well. Everyone plays the roles so differently. That's the wonderful thing about acting, isn't it? Is everyone brings so much of themselves to it that they bring so much uniqueness. Like with Jojo coming out, it's so different to how Courtney played it. And both are fantastic, but so different. Yeah. So that changed it up massively for everyone. It's great.
Yeah. So how was your New York experience, Ben? Was this your first time living in the States?
Yes. I'd okay. literally been to New York for maybe 2 weeks of my life, like a week's holiday when I was 21, and then again later. And I am loving it. I've had about 975 bagels.
Of course.
loads of pizza. No Manhattan cocktails. I don't like them.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like Sex and the City and that was going to be my order, but no.
What is your drink?
Do you know what? I actually like cocktails that have egg white in them because I like that fluffy bit on the top.
That's fine. Oh my God.
Yeah, I like a gin and tonic. That's quite British of me, isn't it?
Very. Some Beefeater gin or whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, wait, British. is this like a British shorthand for a gin and tonic? A tinny? Is that a thing?
Oh, no. Okay, no. So a tinny is any sort of cocktail in a tin.
Oh.
Like, oh, a little cheeky tinny on the train home, you know? Like,
I've been picturing it as a G&T and a
We do have that, though. So it could be that. But we would just say G&T, but it can be a G&T and a tin would be a tinny.
Okay. Oh, cute. I've taken many a tinny on the train, then. So.
Oh, many a tinny on the train. Yeah.
Cute. I might cut this because I'm sure our listeners are tired of hearing Connor and I say this, but we are quite the Anglophiles. We absolutely love all things UK. Like,
I love that.
For the longest time. And Connor was in London last August. We were there together last January or 2 Januaries ago. We have so much fun there. Do you miss it at all?
I do. I really do. I love London so much. And it's where my people are, you know, like I do miss it a lot. And I love the vibe of London, but New York is probably as close as you can get. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So I do love it here as well. But what is it that you love about London?
That is so culture, interesting to think
history,
about.
I know the culture, the accents. Just it's so fascinating. It feels like a big, like the world has been cracked open and there's so many things to learn and experience. It's just,
yes,
it's so magical.
And maybe in the way that we were always drawn to New York, because we're from the Midwest, from Ohio. I don't know if you've been yet.
Never.
You've got to go to Ohio. Gosh. You got to go. Go visit Dylan. Dylan lives in Ohio. But maybe because we loved New York so much, like London does have a kind of similar like big city vibe with endless possibilities and arts and culture and so much to discover and learn. And I don't know. I've always loved it.
I was going to ask, going back to your first time when you came to New York at 21, what was that trip?
It was just literally just booked it because I'd never been and it was fantastic. I loved it. It very much felt like I was in a movie. I think that's probably why people love London as well, right? Same as New York. It's like you feel like you're in the movies. There's so many iconic movies that are based here. You're walking around seeing these big tall buildings and you do get a feeling of like anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is moving at a million miles an hour. So you feel like you have to keep up. Which can also be a negative thing sometimes too. You know, it can be a stressful city and overwhelming and you can feel a bit lost. Like I do wonder how I would feel if I wasn't in Moulin Rouge and I was just sort of here auditioning and it must be very hard and sometimes feel like you're out of the loop a bit sometimes. So, you know, hats off to anyone that's here grinding, hustling and making it work. It's a hard city.
Totally. Did you see any Broadway that first trip? That you came or theater in general?
God, it was so long ago. I can't remember.
You literally look 21. So
no, I'm 33. So it was a long, long time ago. I think Daniel Radcliffe was in something. Did I see that?
He could have been in How to Succeed. Oh. I'm trying to think if it was.
I think I saw that.
12 years ago. Yeah, that would have been like 2012 that he was in How to Succeed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Following the British around the globe.
Yeah.
he lives here now, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope he's
stalker.
Sticks
I'm Harry Potter obsessed. Apparently, I'm a stalker.
Not at all.
He lives here now, doesn't he? Over on 50th and. No, I don't know where he lives. Do not know where.
No, nope, not doxing Daniel today, but you know.
No.
Oh, that's so funny.
So you're in New York now.
Yeah.
You were in London. You grew up in Wales.
Yes.
And we got to dig into the backstory a little bit here. We like to find out where it started for all of our guests. We ask about the Ring of Keys moment. And this could dive into childhood or it could be like, I don't know, when you saw Daniel Radcliffe when you were 21. who can say when this moment occurred? But we borrow Ring of Keys from Fun Home because we like to think of it as a moment of recognition when you were watching something, taking in the arts, mm-hmm. and you realize, oh my God, I connect with this. I need it in my life. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment at some point?
Yes, I love this question because yes, I really do. So I think I was about 11 years old. I was obsessed with dance. I was like, you know, going to ballet, tap and jazz every week. And like, I was begging my mum to like go to more classes. Like I was loving it. And the little stage school that I'd go on Sunday and do the drama and all that. Yeah, I think I was 11 and my mum took me to the cinema to see Chicago, which probably for an 11-year-old maybe is a little bit raunchy, but I loved it. And I was talking to my mum after saying how much I loved it. And she was like, do you know that the woman who played Velma Kelly in the movie that you just watched, used to live round by us? She used to live in Swansea, where I'm from, which is, you know, it is a big city in Swansea, but in Wales. But she lived quite near us in the part of Swansea that I'm from. And I just thought that was the maddest thing. And that moment for me was like, well, I can do it then. If this woman that's from where I'm from could get there, then maybe I can too. And so they were, back in the day, they'd give like posters out for free when you watch a movie. I feel like you don't get nothing for free anymore. Yeah. But back in the day, you'd get a poster for free when you saw the film. So I got this poster and it like folded out and became like life size. And on one side was Renée Zellweger in her little finale costume, the tassely one. And on the other side was Catherine Zeta-Jones. And so I pinned it on the back of my door and I'd like stand in front of her sometimes, like copying her pose. And I think honestly, like seeing that every day and like inspiring me to like continue dancing, singing and acting and really probably is the reason that I am where I am. And I actually ended up playing Velma Kelly in Chicago as well. So I think it's all just kind of crazy. Like I know the buzzword at the minute is like manifest, but maybe I did manifest it. Way back then.
I think so. Wait, is Catherine Zeta-Jones Welsh? I didn't realize that.
Yes, fully Welsh.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like I've heard her accent, but I guess I didn't connect the dots there. That's incredible.
I feel like her accent has gone a bit like transatlantic. I mean, like my Welsh accent is sort of gone now. I've lived in London for so long. But like if she gets interviewed by a Welsh person or if you hear her talking to a Welsh person, guaranteed you'd hear the Welsh accent like way more. Like, I feel like I'm now getting more Welsh even just talking about Wales.
You are.
Oh, she's slipping back. Like, there it is.
It happens.
Oh my God. She's an icon. Fun.
You also have like, you have similar names. I mean, Sophie Kerman Jones, Catherine Zeta-Jones. It was truly written in the stars.
Well, I may have changed my name to sound more, how embarrassing.
No, that's amazing.
This is a full reveal now, an embarrassing reveal.
I love it.
But yeah.
Obsessed.
When I graduated college.
And Carmen Jones is the name of a musical as well.
It is an opera, isn't it?
An opera,
Carmen Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, so theatrical of me. Yeah, wanting to sound like Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
I am a Jones, by the way. I am Jones, yeah. I didn't make that bit up. I just added the Carmen.
There you go. I love it.
I'm obsessed. It is a star's name. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You are.
We'll see.
So did you study dance and performing in school then?
Yeah. I was just doing it, you know, after school, like most kids. And then at 14, I went to Arts Ed Tring. It's like a boarding school. I luckily won a scholarship to go at 13. I went at 14. And you sort of do school in the morning. And then you sing, dance and act in the afternoon. And I loved it. And then I went to Lane Theatre Arts for 3 years, which is a full-time college for performing arts, musical theatre, acting, singing, dancing.
And then what was like your first big job that you booked at a school?
So I actually went straight into the West End with We Will Rock You.
Okay.
It was my first job, which was such a lucky break to sort of start with. That as my first gig was a real head start in the industry to be straight in the West End.
So you're literally 19, mm-hmm. you moved to London. Was this the first time you're living in London then?
Yes, because my college was in Epsom, which is in Surrey. So that's just outside London. But I mean, I would get the train into London on weekends and stuff. Yeah, it was my first time living in London.
Wow.
Oh my God. Was that a fun year though?
Oh my God, yeah. My first few years living in London was was wild. Yeah, we'd go out loads. There's a bar in Soho called Freedom that everyone
Oh
was just
yeah.
at
Oh yeah.
from. Oh, you've been?
Yeah.
You
Oh
know Freedom
yeah.
well.
Oh girl, we
You know
know.
those poles downstairs?
Thought I recognized you,
Yeah.
Sophie.
Just me splitting on the pole. Oh yeah, we had a lot of fun. It was such a good cast. So I had so many great friends on that job. We gelled so well. It was wonderful. And then I went straight on to Wicked after that. And actually, a few people from We Will Rock You, my cast, went straight over to Wicked. So it was like a few of us that went straight over to that. So we just continued having the best time.
Oh, it sounds magical. Iconic.
It was.
When did you start doing like film stuff?
So I think I did a few shows back to back when I first left college. And then I think I started doing bits in between. So in London, you have a lot of more holiday days than you get here.
Yeah, you don't get any here.
You don't really get any, do you? It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks in a whole year. Whereas in London, you get a month's worth. You get, like, I think it's 28 days if you sign a 12-month contract or something like that,
Wow.
something near to that. And so I was young and just like super keen to be doing everything. And I had a commercial agent that did more commercial stuff, so like dancing for pop stars and stuff like that. I never put that on my CV, but I did a lot of that when I was younger.
Oh my gosh, who did you dance for?
Well, I did a lot of like X Factor and Britain's Got Talent. So it was whoever was
Oh
on
yeah.
that. So like Little Mix were on there before they were big time.
Love them.
Danced for them a few times and did people like Robbie Williams a
Oh
few
my
times.
God.
Yeah,
Ever
I
Cheryl?
think.
Any Cheryl ever?
No, I never did
Oh,
Cheryl.
love her.
No. I did Robin Thicke once when he came over and did an X Factor performance. So yeah, I sort of picked up things whilst in the show, like using my holiday days to do that.
Okay.
And then if I had a gap between, so you know when you get cast in something, it's like you might start in 3 months sometimes. So I'd sort of fill the gaps doing stuff like that. And off the back of that, I think got started auditioning for films and you know when they come in and there've been a lot of films, like big movies that have filmed in the UK. I think probably because it's cheaper to use our studios and everything. So yeah, just been auditioning for that sort of stuff in between. Really enjoyed doing that.
What's it called? Pinewood Studios.
Yeah, Pinewood Studios. We've got Warner Brothers Studios, Leavesden. Yeah, loads of massive studios in the UK, and I think they're all expanding as well. So there's
So
loads
cool.
shooting there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you were in
Yeah.
Cats, the film.
Yes.
Oh my God. What was that like?
Was interesting. It was interesting. It was. I actually did a moment with Taylor Swift. It was the Macavity section. They brought four of us girls in to be like the Macavity girls. And it was fun. I remember Idris Elba was like really close to me at one point. I was chatting to
Ooh.
him about the fact he had holes in his socks, and so embarrassing. I'm obsessed with Idris Elba, so I
Oh,
just
he's the
wanted any
best.
excuse to talk to him.
Yeah.
So I just was like, "Oh, look, you've got holes in your socks." And he's like, "Yeah, yes, I do."
Forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he probably keeps that on the download, doesn't he?
Well, because that's why, LOL, that's why he's featured at the beginning of Taylor Swift's song London Boy. He
Oh,
says
right.
Is
a
it?
little something. I'm not going to do an accent for you, but he says something like, we're going to go ride around on my scooter. But
Oh.
he's like an audio at the beginning, which is a little naughty, actually, now that
It
I'm
is a
thinking
little
about
bit.
it.
Is that an
But so you're
innuendo?
in like, were you,
Yeah.
you're wearing like a CGI type outfit, right? Like you were, weren't
Yes.
you all wearing like,
Yeah,
okay.
so we were like wig capped, bald, dots all over our face in these suits to like calibrate. And yeah, it wasn't a sexy look. It wasn't a Moulin
You
Rouge
sure?
sexy fishnet look, I'll tell you that. But
Next time you meet Idris Elba, you'll definitely have to, you'll redeem
let's
the
hope.
look.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, love him. Oh, such a good actor.
Best.
Love Idris Elba.
What was Taylor like on set?
Yeah, she was so nice, you know. Like all the cast were great, and there's a big cast of cats that were on the whole film. I only came in and did a couple of weeks. They were on it for like a long period. But yeah, Taylor was lovely. All the big names that I came across were so nice. Like Judi Dench was on it, for God's sake.
That's right.
Judi Dench. Yeah, what a legend.
Truly a legend.
But yeah, Taylor was lovely. We had to do some like music calls because we had to sing a little bit and do some harmonies. And so we had like a music call in a little room, and I was like, "This is crazy. That's Taylor Swift sat by the piano there, and I'm just like singing Macavity,
Oh my gosh.
Macavity."
I remember that was one of
Crazy.
the last movies that was like a big major release before the pandemic.
Yes.
Did you get to go to like the premiere and stuff like that?
Yes, it was. Oh God, no, I never get invited to those things. We get like we get cast and crew screenings is what we get invited to. And it was great. It was, I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't like any other screening I've been to where usually there's a very emotional speech before and, you know, thanking everyone that worked on it. This was very much like a, here's the movie that we made, enjoy. I was like, oh. But yeah, I wasn't on it for long, so I didn't really have a massive connection to the team massively. But it was, every film I've done, I've loved it. I love being on set. I love the feeling of you creating something in that moment that will be watched again and again and again. It could be, you know, if it's a huge success. And I love the detail that goes into film, not that it doesn't in theatre, but it's just different. It's such a different medium. And I love it. I love the excitement of being on set. I quite like getting up early and getting there really early and having your evenings if you finish at a decent time. On that, we didn't, they were really long days, but I love it. And the fact that you'll never do that again, like the pressure of that, whereas, you know, theatre has a different pressure of, you know, this is the moment of this night, but you do get tomorrow night to do it again if you mess up. Whereas in, I don't know, I do love being on set.
Of the different, you know, on-set experiences you've had, whether it be television or film, do you have any that stand out as like the top?
Ooh, I have two, I think, standouts because, and they're both really different. So a lot of the TV stuff I was acting in, playing roles. And I think my favorite of that was One Day because I loved the book. I'd read the book before I even auditioned for it. So I loved the story so, so much. So when I got that, I was thrilled because I really, really loved the story. And I know that the film version of it didn't do so well. Right. So I really hope that this would really give everyone a real good example of how amazing that book is. And it just exceeded everyone's expectations, I think. Like Leo Woodall and Amber Kamad, like the most amazing Dex and Emma. It was just fantastic. And Rachel Sheridan, the casting director, has brought me in quite a few times over the years and really championed me. So to finally get something through here was through her was amazing as well. And it was just a really fun day. It was a really pinnacle moment in the series. That it's a massive argument that Emma and Dex have, and I'm kind of a catalyst to that argument. So
yeah,
and to work with both of them and watch them do their thing was amazing. Like, it actually took 3 days to film that, and being there for those 3 days was, I'll never forget it. It was great. And yeah, the whole team were really lovely to me. And then my other one is Rocket Man. I loved working on that movie. It was just awesome. I was one of the core team of dancers on that, and Adam Murray, the choreographer, just made it like a party every day. Like, he just brings so much fun to his work, and the whole team, we just had so much fun, and being part of the creative process as well. And it was just so exciting, and working with Elton John's music, and yeah, it was just amazing. Like, we had such a ball. It was awesome.
I loved Rocket Man.
Can't go wrong with Elton John. I mean, you got a little Elton John in Moulin Rouge as well. So
yes. I mean, he's everywhere, isn't he? What a legend.
Oh my God. I feel like we've talked about One Day on this podcast so much.
No way.
We loved it so much.
We loved it. And last week was the day.
Yes. Since Within's Day. July 15th, is it? Mm-hmm. July 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. You were in a very tension-filled, pivotal.
Yes.
Episode, yes, there, weren't you?
And she even makes a comment about me, like, with my ass out. I'm like, I actually didn't have my ass out, but I had a really big pant on under that really tiny skirt.
Was that a real restaurant that you were at?
Yes, it's called Quaglino's in London. Yeah, it's kind of a swanky sort of, they often have a band singing, very, very swanky restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I think they're both stars, those two.
Oh, truly massive. They're going to be huge. They're both phenomenal actors, and they're both wonderful. I'm excited for what they do next.
Yeah. I know. We always say, like, we want them to have their careers take off like Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones did from Normal People.
Oh my God.
Because it's such a similar kind of two-hander love story
so
series.
True.
That,
what,
you know.
They are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And even in the type of characters, I guess, like the sort of, the quietness to them and although Dex is not particularly quiet, is he?
it's so good.
I want to rewatch it. It's so good.
I do too, but I don't know if I can put myself through that again.
I know. No spoiler alert, but my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, it's just devastating, isn't it?
Yeah.
They didn't shy away from really showing the moment. I was like, whoa. Yeah,
I need to watch the Anne Hathaway movie because I am a huge Annie fan. So
are you?
As her friends call her, Annie. But
Annie.
So wait, so does Moulin Rouge have anything exciting happening for the anniversary? I saw there's like a sing-along performance happening.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But... we've done a few of those now and they are so fun. I'm not going to lie. The first one, we were kind of dreading a bit like, oh, is it going to be eggy? But actually it makes it so fun and the audience gets so on board with it. Like all the fans come, like Moulin Rouge has the most amazing fans. There are so many of them and they support everyone so amazingly. And yeah, those nights are wild. They are loud. They are fun. It's it makes it so fun for us as well.
Is it okay? First of all, what is eggy? What does eggy mean? I have to ask you.
Oh, sorry. If I said that a few times, eggy means cringe, like a little bit like egg on your face is where it comes from.
Makes sense.
Egg on your face. It's eggy.
Yeah. Okay. So in the sing along performances, is it every single song that the audience gets to sing along to?
Technically, it's not meant to be. They have a little booklet that tells them, and also the house lights come on when it's like their turn to sing.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
But people do just end up singing along to everything. And that's fine. Whatever. Sing along. It's a sing along.
Wait, that's so funny. I thought it was kind of like what Waitress did. They did this like karaoke thing at the end where they would invite people up to Dylan, maybe you remember this better than I do.
It was like after the show though.
Mm-hmm. After the show. So this is during.
Okay. Yes. Oh, really, this is throughout the whole thing. Top to bottom. It's wild. You should come.
I need to come. I know,
That's the one.
Okay. So if you could choose something else to do on Broadway next, say you want to stay in New York again, extend your tenure here, what would you want to do? Something brand new?
I think probably what most people say, isn't it? Like originate something, do something brand new and be a part of the creation process. I think I'd get that feeling that I get on set more in that way, which is you're creating something and that's so exciting to have that input and with, you know, with everyone else in the room and collaborating with everyone and creating something new for people to see and enjoy is an amazing feeling. So I would love to do that.
We're going to manifest it, not to use the word again. Okay, wait, I'm noticing your ring.
Yes.
It's a rock.
It is.
It's stunning.
Are you a promised woman?
I'm a promised woman. I'm off the market, boys.
Sorry, Idris Elba.
Sorry, Idris. I mean, I think he's off the market too, but.
Okay.
You're right. I think he is.
Otherwise, I would have saved this finger for him.
Is your lover here with you now in the States?
He is not. No, my fiance, Steady Kitch on Instagram. Everyone calls him Steady Kitch because they see him pop up on it. Oh. His name's Martin, or all his mates call him Kitch. He's a cameraman, so luckily he is freelance. So he has been out here loads, visited loads, and stays with me loads. But yeah, he has his visa as well, so he can work anywhere. He works in LA a lot or here. He hasn't worked here that much. He did some job in Atlanta at one point, works a lot in the UK and all over the world. So luckily for me, he's been able to visit loads, which has been lovely. But I do miss him when he's not here.
I'm sure.
Did you meet on a set then, if he's a cameraman?
We did. We actually met on Britain's Got Talent.
Nice.
I was one of the backing dancers for a lot of the acts. And he was one of the cameramen. And I was like, who's that guy? And he was wearing like these camouflage print shorts. And I was like, who's the guy in the camo shorts? And then people like got involved and like tried to set us up. But he was quite quiet back then. He's not now. I brought him out of the show.
Exactly.
And I basically ate him alive at the wrap party. I just pounced on him. I'm not going to lie. Yes.
You knew what you wanted.
Him at the bar.
Snogged him at the bar.
I did. I just pounced on him and snogged him at the bar in front of everyone. I think I was too drunk to care. I thought it was like a quiet corner, but I'm pretty sure everyone was aware of what was going on.
Everyone else just faded away once the two of you got together. That's what happened.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. It was a movie moment.
So was this a couple years ago then?
Yes. That was actually a long time ago. That was actually 7 years ago. And then we didn't get together immediately. He had like some trip planned and our paths just didn't like cross properly again until a couple of years after.
Wow.
And now we've been a fish for 5 years.
Congrats.
And we got engaged last December.
Congrats. Oh my God, congrats. That's so exciting.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I could ask you a million questions about weddings and things like that, but that'll be for another chat because we do need to get into our final segment of the podcast. We had so much fun with you though, Sophie.
Thank you. It's been such a giggle.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I know we've got to get into Dose of Drama. This is the moment where we share the drama on our hearts and our minds. could be a recommendation, what we've been binging, what we've been, you know, consuming, what we're doing later. I have so much pop culture in my brain today. Like, there's so much I want to do. We were talking about Cats earlier, and I'm like desperate to see Cats, the Jellicle Ball that's happening.
Me too. Yes, I want to see that. And I also really want to see Outsiders, because one of the girls from the Moulin Rouge, Tilly, is in it. Yeah. And apparently she is like standout amazing in it, which I have no doubt. She's phenomenal. I really want to see that.
She is unbelievable. Yeah. Yes. It's so hard with your schedule. Yes. And
it is. But we randomly have two Mondays coming up where we do a show on Monday and therefore get Thursday off. So I need to book Outsiders and something else. So let me know what you think my other thing should be. Oh, like, you guys have seen a lot.
You've got to see Outsiders.
Yes, I would say that's top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, top of the list. What would be your number two?
I would say Stereophonic, if you haven't gotten the chance to see that.
Okay, one. And that's literally next door as well. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really
okay,
I
think I'll try and see that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'm going to share another dose of drama though, because there's something I'm obsessed with, and I have spent the weekend living with her, and her being Gracie Abrams, the pop star, who I did vaguely see open for Taylor Swift a year ago, and I wasn't really into her. I don't know what it was. I liked the song she did, but her album just dropped. And you guys, I am obsessed. It's like Gen Z moody love. It's like, I can't even explain it, but I'm addicted. I'm like so into it. She's got this song called I Love You, I'm Sorry. She's actually got a song with Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
She's doing all right.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
And her dad is the producer director J.J. Abrams, who's directed many films.
Sure,
TV
Mr.
shows.
Star Wars.
Exactly. Sure. She's had a little boost because of her daddy, but
the talent makes up. You know what I mean? She meets it where it's at. You know,
it's good. I know. At first, I was like, I don't know, but I'm in. Her songs kept getting. I wonder why her songs kept getting put into like Spotify playlists of mine. I'm like, okay, I couldn't resist for long, but I'm into it. I'm into Gracie.
Oh, I'm going to have to look her up on Spotify after this. Yeah. Gracie who?
Abrams.
Gracie Abrams. J.J. Abrams, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. She kept the name. She did.
She kept it. She did.
Fair enough. Her, don't hide it.
I know. Yeah.
She's embracing it, I guess. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. It's because it's on my mind. And I don't know if you like spooky stuff, Sophie, but I love ghost stories. It's like, but I get so scared, even though I can't resist. And I was recommended a podcast called Otherworld. I know, not me promoting another podcast on my own podcast, but he interviews people who've had like paranormal encounters. And I have listened to like five episodes over the last couple of days. I literally, does this ever happen where something really scary or chilling happens and you're like, almost like start crying, like your eyes like kind of well up and you get like, it has happened to me in every single episode. So I think I'm like addicted to like the feeling of like that rush. I do recommend it. It is wild and actually fun. Fun little connection to drama, I will say, is the second episode. He interviews the songwriter Bonnie McKee, who she wrote like a lot of Katy Perry's Teenage Dream album. She wrote Britney Spears' Femme Fatale album. She did our show in like 2021 or 22. I forget. But I was shocked to see her pop up telling these crazy ghost story encounters that she's had throughout her life. And it is so wild and I can't get enough. So I do recommend it, but it's not for the faint of heart for sure.
Oh yeah. I'm not sure that's a bit of me. I'm not sure. I don't like being scared.
Yeah. Especially if you live alone, Sophie, I don't think.
Yes.
I can't in good faith tell you to listen, but if there's anyone out there who likes it, let me know. And if anyone has any other recommendations of fun stuff like that, let me know as well. I think I'll tear through the podcast quickly.
Sophie, you just did one of my favorite Britishisms, which is a bit of me.
Oh, it's a bit of me. Is that from Love Island?
Yes, it is.
I feel like a lot of people get their phrases from Love Island.
It is. Totally.
There's another one I say that people at work were like, what even is that? Is you're mugging me off. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means?
Well, I've learned from Love Island, kind of.
Yeah.
Because there was Muggy Mike the one season. They called this guy Muggy Mike.
Yeah.
You're mugging me off. Yeah, it's quite a hard one to explain.
Did you ever work with Amber Davies from Love Island? She won the one season.
No, okay. No, I haven't. But she's doing fantastically, isn't she?
She is. I think she's in Pretty Woman or was in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, she sort of bounced from job to job. And I hear that she's fantastic. And I think she had an amazing job lined up before she did Love Island. So it's not like, hats off to her. I don't think it's just the fact that she did Love Island that's, she's got the talent to back it up. So good for her. And she's actually Welsh.
She is. Like, go Welshies. She is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I She has a theater podcast I listen to from time to time. She interviews West End people, and I love doing that.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
You know, like I mentioned Cheryl earlier. Is she Newcastle or no? She's Geordie.
Yeah, Geordie. Proper. Okay. No, I can't. Can I do a Geordie accent like that? No, it's really fucking hard. Actually, she talks like that, doesn't she, Cheryl? Cheryl Corn.
Yes,
that was so good.
That was good. That was really good.
I don't know. If you ask a Geordie that, they'd be like, "No, you just murdered it."
No, to us, maybe we're easily amused, but no, that was amazing. Is it Newcastle that has like a close accent to Welsh, or there's like another one that's pretty?
I don't know. I'd say some people think a northern, like Liverpudlian accent can sound similar, but I don't think so. Liverpudlian's like Scouse and all like that. Whereas Welsh is way more, I would say, in the boots and melodic. And like my mum comes to New York, no one can understand her. She's talking like that, and she talks really fast as well. And people just don't get it what she's saying. She's like, "Oh, thank you so much. I love the show." And people are like, "What?"
Oh, but that's adorable.
Yeah, she's super cute. I love the Welsh accent. It is my favorite. I'm obviously biased, but if someone has a Welsh accent, I'm in love. Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Is your man Welsh?
No, he's not. But I'd love him even more if he had a Welsh accent. Yeah. He's got a proper London accent, which I also love.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's also a massive turn on for me. Yeah,
yeah, he's got same.
Proper, maybe that's where you've adopted a little bit of that.
Probably is, you know. Yeah, proper Londoner. But yeah.
I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Sophie, do you have a dose of drama to send us home with?
Ooh, I did just think of like a drama that I watched, not even that recently, like it's like a month ago now, but everyone was talking about it, is Baby of India. Did you watch it?
Okay, it was too scary for me. I couldn't watch it. It was too scary.
No, it's not that scary. I mean,
I'm a scary cat.
Like stalker
Martha,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Martha is scary, Martha. And then it was crazy how much it blew up in like real life then, because people then stalked people to find the actual Martha. It was crazy.
And she was like, she's suing them or whatever?
Is she?
The real Martha. And I thought to myself, I would never confirm that was me.
That just shows Martha's crazy. Like, why would you ever come out and be like, "I'm Martha"?
Right.
Why would you ever?
It was so
ever?
Good, though.
It was so good. Kind of crazy that the guy who wrote it is actually in it again. I don't know if I would do that. But hey, it's about you, so... you do you.
Yeah. Maybe it helped him heal a little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Going through something like that. Poor guy.
Yeah. I was just nominated for a bunch of Emmys too. So
was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised actually. Yeah. And just recently I'm watching Supercell on Netflix, which I'm loving. If you like sort of sci-fi, like humans with special powers vibes, it's very good.
We do love that kind of stuff.
Ooh,
have to look into
it.
Sounds good. See, I can do that because it feels a little more fictiony than someone you know being stalked, but
it's really
fun. Well, thank you for your recommendations, and thank you so much for this conversation. It's been an absolute delight to get to know you.
Thank you for having me. You two are a delight as well. It's been lovely chatting.
Thank you, Sophie. And everyone needs to see you in Moulin Rouge through the end of the year. They need to go celebrate the 5-year anniversary of the show. And then where can everyone follow you online for even more Sophie Carmen Jones?
So I'm just on Instagram @ Sophie Carmen Jones.
Easy. While everyone's following Sophie, they should follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Sophie. This was a blast. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.